Each year, on this Sunday following Pentecost, we mark Trinity Sunday. In the United States, next Sunday, we celebrate Corpus Christi. Sometimes we detach this celebration from Pentecost itself, which we ought not to do, because in reality, this is the conclusion of the octave of Pentecost. It no longer explicitly has an octave, but that's the reason that this solemnity of the Holy Trinity is on this Sunday, as the capstone for that celebration of Pentecost. Next Sunday, Corpus Christi just happens to be on a Sunday because it was really on the second Thursday following Pentecost. And the United States, we're not really big on holy days of obligation, so we moved a lot of them to Sunday. It's just an accident. Don't make too much of it, as some people do. I remember from seminary some advice one of our professors for preaching gave us in a practicum, talking about the great feast days of the church. On Trinity Sunday, he said two things to avoid on Trinity Sunday. One, don't try to explain the Trinity. Nobody will understand it. Okay. Two, don't talk too much about God the Father, because people have weird relationships with their own fathers, and they don't want to be reminded about that. And I thought to myself, gee, has that guy met my dad? He must know my dad, huh? So I think I'm going to violate both of those rules for a second. Thanks to a group of theologians in the 12th and 13th century that I really love, we developed in the Catholic world this idea of analogy, to use analogies to explain God. And some of those analogies are great, some of them aren't so great. If you have had any theology, Catholic theology at all, you've heard of the analogy of being. People like to point out problems with it. But there is a unique problem with it that I think often becomes overlooked. When we use all kinds of other analogies to explain God, that is, God is like this, or God is like that, or God is as if this or that, when we use other analogies to explain God, we start to think that the scriptural explanations of God are also analogies. So when we talk about God as Father and Christ as Son and the Holy Spirit as whatever, we have this tendency to think that that's an analogy. God is like a father. Christ is like the Son or a Son. The Holy Spirit is, I don't know, like a dove. And I think that that is to get everything exactly wrong. The most amazing thing about that kind of attitude is that it's just completely wrong. The relationship between the Father and the Son. The Creed has us say every Sunday that the Son is God from God, light from light, true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. But now we say consubstantial with the Father, which is supposed to be more understandable, but is actually, I think, a little more bizarre. Okay? And we don't ever stop to think about those words. Light from light, true God, begotten, not made. Begotten? If you were to ask a lot of questions about that in second or third grade, sister would immediately say, it's a mystery, which means stop asking. The Spirit is the key to it all. The key to the whole thing. As I was mentioning last Sunday in the heart of my homily last Sunday, the Spirit is that element which makes us alive. We in the West often think about body and soul, but the biblical writers had in mind body, soul, and spirit, right? The spirit is what makes you alive. Your soul is what makes you you. Within God, what makes God, God, and alive eternally is the spirit. This eternal spark of liveliness, of life itself. That spirit, so powerful, so unbounded, and the Father, so much the essence of love, that He takes part of that spirit from Himself and begets the Son from His very being. When? Always. So that the Son is alive, is ever living and ever being, because the Father has shared His very spirit with the Son. This is how they are one in being, consubstantial. Don't send letters if I'm wrong. This is, there becomes a very real truth here, rather than some staid diagram of the Trinity. There is this overpowering reality that God begets the Son by giving the Spirit, and in His love, bringing the person of the Son around it, around the Spirit, so that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of God. This is what I think explains the language that Christ Himself uses in St. John's Gospel that we read throughout the entirety of Easter. Especially if you read the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters of St. John's Gospel, sometimes you wonder, like, what was John? I don't know. Something's wrong there. Because his language is so opaque, it seems. But when Christ says, the Father is in me, and I am in the Father, just as I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, so you are in me. The Father and I are one. He's not saying, like, you know, we're one in mind, we usually agree with one another. He's getting to that very deep reality that the Spirit of God is given by the Father to the Son. They literally share one spirit, one being, and are distinctly different so that they might love one another. Because as John tells us, God is love. So what? This is so what? That spirit that God drew from Himself to beget the Son is the spirit He gives to you. In baptism, we are born to a new life. We are given a new being. As Paul reminds us in the 8th chapter of his letter to the Romans, that letter that we read from this evening, we have received a spirit of adoption through whom we cry, Abba, Father. When did you receive that spirit of adoption? When did you become a child of God? At baptism. That adoption is not like some legal adoption where, you know, God took out a little thing and wrote, you are my kid, here's the document. Kind of like the baptismal certificate saying, hey, you officially son of God. Ta-da. But rather, what makes us children of God is that in baptism, through the pouring out of water, faithful to Christ's own command, a share of the Spirit itself. That which makes God God is given to each one of us. Now, Lord God gave the whole of his Spirit to the Son. He gives a share of that Spirit to us. This is how he adopts us. Not by some legal testament, but by the actual giving to you of his Spirit. What made you alive before baptism was the living breath of God within you. What makes us alive after baptism is the Spirit himself. This is why St. Paul says, through whom we cry, Abba, Father. Because we, like Christ, recognize in that moment, from that moment of baptism forward, that I continually am a child of God, his son, you his daughter. Because we share in his being, which he has given to us. Elsewhere, Paul will say, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Spirit. Again, this isn't some kind of analogy. This is the reality itself. That having the Spirit placed within me, I immediately recognize that Jesus is Lord. Because I recognize that I'm part of him and he is part of me. That my life is his and his life is mine. Paul goes on to say, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit of God, now dwelling in you, takes over that spirit of life within you. And if we are attentive to it, we feel the prompting of that spirit. Have you ever had one of those moments, maybe on an early morning, maybe at the beach in the afternoon as the sun is going down, walking through the woods, sitting in a quiet church, surrounded by your family. A moment of just feeling that things are right. A moment of peaceful, unrestrained joy. Or as Merton said of his experience at the corner of 4th and Walnut in Louisville, a feeling that everyone and everything is connected, bound up together. That is the prompting of the Spirit. That's the Spirit at work in you, begging you to see, to feel, to realize, to understand in the very marrow and heart of your being that you are not like a child of God, but that you are, in fact, God's child, a brother or sister to Christ. Because the same Spirit that makes God God and causes Christ to be begotten, that Spirit is given to you. And you are one with God, just as the Son is one with the Father. And you are thereby able to offer that prayer of Christ, our Father. The our there, not just being you and me, but all of us and Christ. For just as he is the Father of the Son, he is the Father of us. On this holiday weekend, let yourself feel the Spirit of God moving within you. Let yourself realize that at baptism, in confirmation, in the Eucharist, in sacrament after sacrament, let yourself realize that you have been inspired, that God has breathed His Spirit into you and claimed you as His own. Be overwhelmed with the recognition. Let yourself breathe in and out and feel the breath and the Spirit of God moving within you, making you divine. For this was Christ's mission, to help us to put off the old man of death and to put on the new man, which is Christ Jesus, alive forever.